Can y'all hear me for real? Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome in. Glory to God. It's always a joy and a privilege to have an opportunity to just minister to a session of just men. Amen. And, you know, a lot of people, they really think, and to some degree I can see where they're coming from, they really feel like, to a large degree, the church is sort of oriented towards women. And a lot of things that we do, you know, in the church, they really feel like, oh, I even know guys, you know, I'm not going to church, you know, because if I come, the pastor just talks about the men, you know, and then he just brags on the women. Well, in a setting like this, here's what we really want to do. We really don't get on the men. We love to challenge men. Amen. We love to challenge. How many of y'all like a good challenge? Amen. I like it. I like to look at it. Every man loves a good challenge. There's something about males. We love to challenge. I don't care what it is. We can make competition out of it. Come on now. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You guys who are married, you know, and, you know, why can't you just pull up into the parking lot and park? No, you got to have a challenge. There's 18 empty spots over there, but you got to pull up between these two cars. You got to, I got to show I can get right. It's like, dude, don't you see all those empty? Yeah, but there's no challenge to that. You know, we as men, we love to be challenged. Amen? Why? Because that makes us strong. That makes us strong. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited tonight. Amen? Because I see a bunch of strong men in this place. Come on, somebody. Men, strong men love to be what? Challenged. Strong men love to be challenged. And I came here tonight to challenge you a little bit. Amen? Yeah, I came here to just challenge you a little bit because I'm telling you, men love to be challenged. And we're going to do that a little bit tonight because I believe that we're living in an era right now, an era where either we're going to do exploits or we're going to be exploited. There is no in between. Everywhere you look in our culture, amen, people are looking to exploit other people. The only answer to that is we got to rise up and do exploits, I say. How many of you know Christian men ought to be doing exploits? Amen. And so we want to just encourage you along those lines. But before I do that, I want to thank Pastor Chris. What a great man of God you have here. Come on now. You know, he loves you. He teaches you, you know, and he embraces you, but he challenges you. And, you know, every time I drive up, how long has it been since I've been here, Pastor? Maybe 9, 10 years. Something like that. But you know what? When I went back, I just told everybody. I said, you're not going to believe this. Out in the middle of what in Arkansas, we call it out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if y'all call it. But it's amazing. He's raised up this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ministry. Praise the Lord. And it took a spirit upon him to do this. Amen. A spirit of might. Everybody say a spirit of might. Amen. There's a spirit of might in this place. And I'm telling you, mighty things are taking place right here. And we're going to talk about that. Y'all mind talking about that a little bit tonight? Praise the Lord. So let's pray and we're going to get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this band of men. Father, I thank you that they're mighty men. Father, I thank you that they are built. They are built for this moment. They are built for this day of exploits. Father, where kings are rising up and doing exploits. We're going to see armies rise up and do exploits. We're seeing athletic teams rise up and do exploits. And in the middle of this, in this day of exploits, Father, you're going to raise up a group of men who are going to do exploits for you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Give yourselves a hand for being here tonight. Glory to God. Okay, guys, you can be seated, especially while the NFL draft is going on. Yeah, NFL draft is going on, you know, and of course, you know, that's one of the things I You know, everybody likes to watch every year. A lot of people like to watch, you know, and especially the first night of it, you know, when they're taking the first round, you know, and they're going out and they're getting these young football players and these pro teams. They're willing to spend vast amounts of money, amen, because they have seen these young men go out on an athletic field and do exploits. They literally go out on that athletic field and do exploits, and they're very valuable. They're so valuable to those teams that they're willing to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars. Why? Because they watch the film, and they've seen what they can do, and whether they're a defensive back or a linebacker or a quarterback or a wide receiver, a running back, whatever, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, lineman, whatever, kickers even. Amen. We got any kickers in here? Any kickers? Any kickers? Okay. Amen. And kickers, there we go. Oh, I see you back there, bro. Praise the Lord. I see you back there. You know, I like to put it like this. The kicker is kind of like the people that run the sound in the church. As long as everything's going good, nobody even notices them. But let them miss a field goal, and everybody's on them. Come on, somebody. And so the sound man, thank God they're doing a great job back there. Come on, y'all give them a good hand tonight. Y'all recognize them? Nobody even really recognizes them until something happens with the sound. And everybody stops looking at the preacher, and everybody turns around and says, what happened? Amen. But I'm telling you, God is looking for men who will do great exploits for him. So let's look in Daniel chapter 11, because we're talking about strong men. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11 and verse 32. It says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people that do know their God shall be what? Strong and do what? Exploits. Yes. See, when we really know our God, we know how powerful our God is. We know what our God can do. Amen. And because we know our God, then we know that that God, amen, who we serve, wants to do exploits through us. You see, we don't serve a God who wants to exploit us. We serve a God who wants to do exploits through us. Charles Capps used to call it the dividing line of the Bible. Chris, you'll remember, Pastor Chris. John 10:10. Amen. The thief comes but for what? To steal, to kill, and what? Destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In other words, he's saying the devil is out to exploit you, but I came to empower you to do exploits. Come on, somebody. The devil only comes to exploit you. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come. Jesus came on this earth, amen, not to just carry, like some people have him on a portrait with a little lamb up on his arm and walking around like Tiny Tim, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible, amen, came here to do mighty exploits. The Bible said he spoiled principalities and powers. Come on, somebody. Amen. And he spoiled them openly. Glory to God. And he led captivity captives. And he gave gifts unto men. In other words, the same way he did exploits, he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to do daring exploits for him in Jesus' mighty name. So Daniel says, but they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now watch this. I want to see if you agree with me. Agree with me on this. As men, we were shaped and molded as little lads, watch this, to admire, adore, and even adorn the paraphernalia that repped our favorite heroes. That's what we were taught to do to those boys, right? Do you know how much money the NFL makes off of selling jerseys? Why? Is it because, you know, we were looking for something to wear? No, it's because the jerseys we buy are for people, of people we admire. Amen, and we want to relate to that person. Amen. And that's, what do we got, mostly Washington fans here? I'm not sure. No? Huh? Okay, we got a few. Okay, so what's the main team? You know, in Arkansas, it has to be Dallas. Okay, they'll kick you out if you're not a, you know, they'll you know, go back and rebaptize you if you're not a Cowboy fan. You know, and so every, you know, listen, I got a man cave, and you know, I turned sour on the Cowboys here a couple of years ago. I said I'm tired of Jerry Jones every year. He says the same thing, and nothing happens. And so I rose up and said, I'm done with the Cowboys. I stood in front of my congregation, and I said, I am done with the Cowboys. I'm done with them. And I'm here to tell you today, this is a day that the Cowboys and I are getting a divorce. But then I went home and looked at how much money I spent on all that Cowboy paraphernalia. I got a helmet that cost $1,300 that's got, you know, Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith signature on it and all that. And then I looked at all the jerseys. I said, no, it's cheaper to keep her. I can't let the Cowboys go now. I got too much invested in the Cowboys. But think about that. Why do you buy those jerseys? Why do you buy all that stuff? These are people that you admire because they do exploits. Let me tell you something. Males were created by God to admire people who do exploits. That's why you may have a few women buying those jerseys and all, but mostly it's guys, it's kids, it's young men, amen, who they, why? As our young people say, I want to rep that team. I want to represent them. Let me tell you something. We want to represent Jesus. I mean, Jesus Christ, glory to God, did the greatest exploits that this world has ever seen or known. Nobody has ever even come close. Nobody ever will ever come close to what Jesus has done. And we want to turn to somebody and say, I want to rep Jesus. Now, as males, as I said, especially among groups that have been customarily exploited, we are fascinated by, infatuated with, and drawn to those who do exploits. Think about it for a minute. How many times have you seen a young child, maybe they're fighting cancer or they're going through some sort of thing? Do you know how amazing that is? Amen. When that some big player on that football team, amen, calls them in and autographs a jersey or lets them walk around with them all. Do you know what that does for that kid? Listen, people who have been exploited the most are the ones who are looking for people who do exploits. Let me tell you, men, when we begin to really do exploits for Christ, this building is not going to be able to hold the people. Because there's so many exploited people out there today who have been exploited by the devil. I'm not just talking about social stuff. I'm talking about spiritual stuff. Amen. People who are being exploited day by day. And you know what? They're looking for people who are doing exploits. They're looking for people who are casting out devils. They're looking for people who are healing the sick. They're looking for people, amen, who are getting people off of welfare. Come on, somebody, and causing them to be financially independent. They're looking for somebody that's got some power on their lives. Can I get an amen in the house? So God is looking for men who will do exploits. And by the way, the reason that you're going to do these exploits, and this is really my title tonight after that long introduction, everybody say, I'm built for this. You are built for exploits. You are built for exploits. Say it one more time. I am built for exploits. Now think about it for a minute. Think about the 400 men that later became 600 that came around David. They were all men who were being exploited. Every one of them were men who were being exploited. You say, how do you know that? How do you know that? Let's look at 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel 22, you're familiar with it, verses 1 through 2. It said, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went there to him, to everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, ooh, Lord, and everyone who was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and they that were with him were around 400 men. Why? Every one of them was being exploited. The Bible says every man that was in in distress. Oh, my God. Every man who was in debt and everyone who was discontented, they gathered themselves under David. Let me tell you, one of the greatest drawing cards of the last days is going to be men who are doing exploits. It's going to be a drawing card that's going to draw people from the north, the west, the east, and the south. Amen. And these are the ones who came to David. And guess what? Here's the good news. You're built for this. You are built for exploits. Now, the word exploit, I know you know what it means. It means a striking, daring, or notable deed, feat, or spirited heroic act. It is the accomplishment of a daunting or seemingly impossible task against incredible odds. Against incredible odds. You know, all of us young guys, we grew up loving our heroes, right? I don't know who the heroes are now, but my day, it was Superman and Batman and Mighty Mouse and Popeye and all. Come on, somebody. Anybody remember Popeye? Yeah, I mean, he would get olive oil and deliver her every now and then off the tracks or whatever. But you know what? We admired them. And I mean, Popeye could even get you to eat some spinach. Now, you talk about a daring exploit. Amen. Getting somebody to eat some spinach, I'm telling you. What am I trying to say? When you admire some, I feel the Holy Ghost. When you really admire somebody, they can get you to do stuff you normally would not do. Amen. This Chris Morgan guy, he can get you to do stuff that you normally wouldn't do. Like come to church on a Friday night when the NFL draft is on. I mean, that's greater than getting you to eat some spinach. Come on, somebody. You know, my older brother, his name is Dwight, and Dwight was skinny. I was going to say he was slightly built. He was skinny. And, you know, he mom never could get him to eat and stuff like that. He'd only eat junk food and stuff like that. And so one day, you know, my mom, she had company over to the house and all like that. And I don't know about here, but in Arkansas, greens are big. I mean, we eat a lot of greens, especially on Sunday. I mean, you weren't saved if you didn't have greens on Sunday. You understand? I mean, they take you back and get you baptized, and you got to have some greens on Sunday. Dwight couldn't stand him. But anyway, mom had a big house full of company, and so she was going to get Dwight to eat some greens. And boy, you know, he got a little spoonful, and all those old ladies started bragging on him. Ooh, look at Dwight. Look at Dwight. Ooh, eat some more, Dwight. And Dwight ate, you know, he ate a little bit more. And then finally, amen, did I turn that off? Okay. Okay, thank you so much. And finally, Dwight got tired of it. He getting ready to eat another spoonful. Here's what Dwight said. He said, I don't want no more of this good old stuff. And you know, when you have somebody that you admire, they can get you to do stuff that you normally would not do. And that's what God is saying to us today. Amen. We are built to do exploits. We are built to do exploits, and we can do them against incredible odds. We can do them against incredible odds. Think about it. When I do exploits, number one, it means that I'm daring. I'm daring. See, what happens to males who started out being so daring that your mama called it dumb? Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. We did some dumb stuff. Amen. Like put a sheet on your back because you think you're Superman and go jump off the barn. That's what we did. Amen. But what happened to that? What happens as we get older? I know we get older and we get wiser, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be daring. God wants us to be daring. Everybody say daring. Not only that, not only are people who do exploits daring, but people who do exploits are dreamers. Amen. We dream. Don't you know God had to put a dream on the inside of this man? Don't you know God put a dream on the inside of him and his wife to come out in the middle of this cornfield and do what they've done? Come on, somebody. Amen. It all started from them being daring enough to obey God. And then they dream big, glory to God. And not only that, watch this, they were willing to do it when other people doubt them. You're never going to do exploits if you stop just because somebody doubted you. I never seen anybody do anything great who did not have to overcome the doubts of others. And let me tell you, if you're sitting around waiting on everybody to approve what you're doing before you do it, and you think it's not going to happen. You got to overcome the naysayers. You got to overcome the doubters. Somebody shout amen. 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 In order for David to take down Goliath, glory to God, he had to overlook all the doubters. Amen. And what are you going to do? Even his brothers didn't believe in him. David, who told you to come down here with your little naughty self? Always doing something you ain't got. I bet Daddy don't even know you down here. But David came down to do a mighty deed, even though his brothers doubted him, even though the people around him doubted him. You've got to be able to overcome doubts. How many of you men are willing to overcome some doubts tonight? I can remember when I first got ordained into the ministry, and, you know, I came up in a Baptist church. How many of y'all came up Baptist? Okay, that's what I thought. Most of the people in the world today were saved by Baptists. Can I get an amen? Amen. Everybody say, thank God for the Baptist. But I came up in a Baptist church, of course, and so in my culture, if you were going to be a preacher, there are three things you had to have. Three things you had to have. Number one, you had to be able to sing. I can prove to y'all in five seconds, I cannot sing. You do not want to hear me sing. Amen. And so I couldn't sing. They said, man, I don't know what you can't be a Baptist preacher and you can't sing. So I couldn't sing. Amen. Number two, I don't know if y'all know what this is. I couldn't hoop. Anybody know what hooping is? Huh? Can Pastor Chris hoop? Ooh, Lord. Can y'all hear Pastor? Come on, Pastor Chris. Let me hear you do it. Come on, Pastor Chris. Oh, Lord. I saw Pastor Chris. He got up on Sunday and he hooped real good. Come on, somebody. Amen. I couldn't sing because you had to sing. You know, you had to sing. You started out singing. You didn't preach before. You had to sing first and draw the ladies in. You know, they'd be fainting by the time you preach. All of them be done fainted. They don't even know what you said because all of them already done fainted. So, you know, you had to sing. And then, y'all brothers know what I'm talking about. Amen. And then you had to hoop. Here's the third thing. I couldn't sing. Come on. Amen. I couldn't hoop. Here's number three. I didn't have a middle name. Huh? Oh, did you? Huh? So that was my rap song. I can't hoop. I can't sing. I ain't got no middle name. They told me, they said, Silas, you'll never make it. You will never make it, man. Your mama didn't even give you a middle name. I said, man, there was so many of us, I was glad I got a first name. Come on, somebody. If it was eight of us, come on, somebody. And half the time, she couldn't even remember. Hey, boy, Dwight, Silas, and whatever, you know what your name is. I mean, you know, that can give you an inferiority complex. Come on, somebody. But you got to be able to overcome the doubters. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory to God. Somehow or another, even though I could not hoop, amen, I could not sing, I did not have a middle name, but I made up my mind, glory to God, that I was built for this. Turn to your neighbors, I'm built for this. Amen. You are built to do exploits for Almighty God, glory to God. Now watch this. God in his foreknowledge and wisdom has always built a man for the moment. You were born for the moment. You could not have been born 100 years ago. Now, some of y'all might be 100. Guys, I'm just having fun. I'm just having fun. Everybody look straight ahead. They won't know who I'm talking about. Come on, somebody. No. Really. You were born for a certain time. You were born for such a time as this. God creates men for a moment. I said, God creates men for a moment. Somebody say, I'm built for this. There are certain moments in time. People may not know it. They may not recognize it. But God builds men for a moment. Now, throughout history, whenever his people were being exploited, he always raised up a man to do exploits. Whenever God's people were being exploited, he'd always raise up a man to do exploits. Men who would face the challenge and say, I'm built for this. You see, I came to challenge you tonight because I want one response for you, and that is, I'm built for this. Come on now. Amen. Yeah, I came to challenge you tonight. I came to challenge you tonight. Glory to God. You can change, amen, this whole, you can change this whole area. You can change your family. You can change the people where you work. You can change anything around you. Amen. Why? Because before you can do an exploit, you got to have a challenge. And I'm telling you, innately on the inside of men, we love challenges. We get bored when we don't have a challenge. If we don't have one, we'll go create one. Don't do that with your wife. Amen. Listen, that's how we're built. I said, that's how we're built. And look what our culture has done to us. Look what our society has done to men. They've tried to get men, amen, not to be daring. They've tried, our society has shaped our culture, amen, where we're no longer daring, where we no longer want to dream. We no longer want to take on daunting tasks where people are doubting us. Think about all the scientific discoveries that have been made, amen, in the midst of somebody doubting that person.
Well, if God wanted us to fly, he'd have given us some wings, brother.
Come on now. But somebody... The Wright brothers didn't buy that. Amen. They were daring enough. They were bold enough, amen, to dream. And I came here tonight, glory to God, to stir you up, glory to God. I came here to challenge you tonight. You were built to be challenged. You were not built to be comforted. God built our women to be comforted. And our society is challenging our women and comforting our men. Can I say that one more time? Y'all supposed to say that again, preacher. I got to train y'all. I got to train y'all how to. Amen. I said our society, amen, is challenging our women and comforting our men. And we got to change that. We got to change that. We're raising up too many of our males, amen, to want to be comforted. Yes, we all need love. We all need compassion. We all need that. But you got to understand, God created you, brother, to be challenged. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? Amen. Glory to God. And I came here tonight, glory to God, amen, to challenge you. Now, say out loud, I'm built for this. Say out loud, I'm built for this. My God, you can, yeah, you like Superman. Amen. You can jump over a building with a single bound. You can outrun a locomotive. You can do all that stuff that Superman used to do. Are y'all, and I'm saying that in a figurative sense. You got to understand all you need is a model. And don't hold the model back. Turn him loose and let him dream big. Let him face another challenge. See, this is beautiful. And if you wanted to, you can get real comfortable with this. Do you know how many pastors in America would love to have this? Do you know how many would love to be in a situation like this and just be comfortable and hold back? See, I came to tell you because pastor getting ready to challenge y'all some more. God's already been dealing with him about some stuff. And I'm telling you, God is raising up men and women, glory to God, but especially men who are ready to do exploits for God. Can I get an amen? Say out loud, I'm built for this. Now watch this. As I said, God raised up and he builds men for a moment. Let's look at some examples as we get ready to close this out. God already knows what is coming, so he raises up a man to deal with it. God knew there was going to be a flood on the earth, so he raised up Noah. I said he raised up Noah, and they laughed at Noah. They mocked Noah. Said, look at that old preacher. Look at him with his crazy self. Him and his sons over there, amen, working on that boat. It ain't never rain. Ain't nobody know what rain is. He talking about it's going to rain. But how many of you know God knew it was going to rain? Come on, somebody. And he raised up a man, glory to God, because Noah was what? Built for that. Say out loud, he was built for that. God knew that he needed a family. So he raised up a man by the name of Abraham. You want to know why? Because God knew, glory to God, that he needed a family. And he knew Abraham would command his household after him. Somebody shout hallelujah. And Abraham said, you got your man. I am what? Built for this. God knew that there was going to be a famine in the land. So he raised up a Joseph. Amen. And Joseph understood, glory to God, that he was built for the moment. I'm here to tell you right now, God is raising up people in every spectrum of society who are built for this moment. Amen. He's raising up civil leaders. He's raising up political leaders. He's raising up social leaders. He's raising up athletes. He's raising up people in every part of life, amen, who are built for this moment. And those of you who are in this building tonight, I'm coming to tell you right now, you are built for this moment. God brought you here for such a time as this. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory to God. God knew that there would be a Pharaoh, so he raised up a Moses. Come on, somebody. Even though Moses had a little speech impediment, amen, he had a few little issues, amen, and he was a little bit shy, amen, but God raised him up for the moment. God said, Moses, he said, I'm going to teach you something that me ain't going to save years from now. He said, you ain't got to talk. He said, just walk softly and carry that big stick. Come on, somebody. We still use that today, right? Mo, you ain't got to say nothing, bro. Just get that big old stick out and see what's going to happen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to be the most exquisite person with your speech. Amen. But when you walk in, you command everybody's attention because God is getting ready to use you to do great exploits. You want to know why? Because you are built for the moment. Say out loud, I'm built for this moment. God knew that there would be Canaanites, so he raised up a Joshua. Amen. Why? Because Joshua was built for the moment. God knew there would be Midianites, so he raised up a Gideon. Amen. Gideon was a man. Amen. When God came to him and he said, oh, you can't be talking to me. He said, don't you know who I am? He says, I come from the poorest family. And my tribe is the poorest tribe. And my family is the poorest family in the tribe. And I'm the poorest one in the family. He said, I ain't poor, I'm poor. I can't even afford the other O in poor. Come on, somebody. I mean, when you grew up in the hood, you know what poor is. Come on, somebody. Amen. He said, God, look, you don't understand. He said, you can't be talking to me. I come from the poorest tribe in all of Israel, and my family is the poorest family, and I'm the poorest one in the family. But God said, you mighty man of valor. Glory to God. Why? Because he was built for the moment. Say out loud, I'm built for this moment. I came to challenge you tonight. God knew that there would be a Haman. So he raised up a Mordecai. See, God is raising up some Mordecais right now. He's raising up some Mordecais right now who are willing to stand up for his people. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And if you'll stand up for God, God will cause the gallows that they built for you. He's going to cause your enemies to hang on those same gallows. Those who are digging ditches right now for you to fall in, they're going to fall in their own ditch. Why? Because God has built you for this moment. Say out loud, I'm built for this. Come on, touch your brother on the other side and say, man, you built for this. Watch this. God knew that there was going to be a Goliath, so he raised up a David. God knew that there was going to be a Goliath, so he raised up a David. Goliath was this man who was anywhere from 9 to 13 feet tall. You understand what I'm saying? Who's the big guy who plays for San Antonio now? I think he's 7'7". Amen. He makes him look like a pup. I mean, that's how big Goliath was. He was coming out every day, amen, exploiting God's people, amen, threatening God's people and cursing their God. And nobody would do anything about it. But David said, uh-uh. No, I'm built for this moment. Son, you couldn't have been built for this moment. All you know how to do is play that harp. Come on, somebody. All you know how to do is stay out there with your father's few little old raggedy sheep. Come on, somebody. What you doing down here in the battle? You see, David, amen, was a DoorDash driver. I'm not putting down DoorDash, but his dad had sent him down there to bring some pizza. Come on, somebody. He didn't send him down there to fight a giant. He sent him down there to deliver. Can't you see David with his little pizza outfit on? Come down there. Amen, with the little pizza and the little thing, come down to bring it to the battle. And then he looked out there and saw that giant. Amen, cursing God and challenging the people. Nobody will come out and fight me. I'm too big, I'm too strong, and I'm too mighty. But David said, oh, wait a minute. He said, what would be given to the man who takes him out? David was still a little boy in heart. Why? Because he was looking for a challenge. Let me ask you all tonight. How many of you are really looking for a challenge? Come on now. How many are looking for a challenge rather than looking for comfort? Most people in America, including 90% of the preachers now, are looking for comfort. They're not looking for a challenge. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want to confront anything. We don't want to deal with anything. But let me tell you right now, God is looking for men, and you're in this room tonight, men who are looking for a challenge. Is there anybody looking for a challenge? I looked at those athletes, amen, that got drafted, amen. And you know, most of those little kids, you know, most of them just little kids, but you see that swag they got. Huh? When I put that cap on, whatever team they praying for, put that cap on. Do it in the mirror a little bit. I'm ready to do this tonight. Huh? So you got to know how to do your hand like that if you're going to. Huh? Those guys were ready, man. That's what those teams want. Come on, somebody. They don't want somebody. Who, me? You guys really picked me? I mean, no. Every one of them is about 2 inches away from being arrogant. What am I trying to say? Amen. They're looking for a challenge. They're looking. How many of y'all tonight are looking for a challenge? I said, how many tonight are looking for a challenge? I'm tired of being comforted. I'm looking for a challenge. Amen. And David, amen, was looking for a challenge. He said, what shall be done to the man who takes down this giant? What will I get? That sounds like a kid to me. And, you know, I'm all for, you know, awarding trophies and all this kind of stuff. But come on there, y'all. Okay, getting quiet. I'll make somebody mad now. When I came up, you didn't get no trophy for showing up. Come on now, we got to quit comforting our boys. And we got to start challenging our boys. Well, everybody's supposed to get a trophy. Everybody ain't supposed to get no trophy. See, I'm already in trouble, right? I can't believe he a pastor. And he said, no, bruh, everybody ain't supposed to get no trophy. You're supposed to have a challenge. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory to God. Amen. David was looking for a challenge. Come on, somebody. And he went down there. Amen. And he started singing that song. Boom, boom, boom. Another one bites the dust. He was about an inch from arrogant. He was like a Deion Sanders. You know what I'm talking about? Talking noise. Come on, somebody. Talking noise. Amen. And, you know, and he starts singing Marvin Gaye. Come on. Let's get it on. Come on, somebody. We got to have more men of God today who are ready, amen, to go out and to seek a challenge and stop looking for comfort and start seeking a challenge. And I came here tonight, glory to God, to stir you up. You're never going to be the same again because an anointing is getting ready to come on you. You see, the anointing comes on people who challenge. The anointing does not come on people who are afraid to challenge things. Every one of these men, when they decided to challenge the status quo, an anointing came on them. It was the anointing. Somebody shout the anointing. Somebody shout the anointing. You see, God says, I'm getting ready to put an anointing on you to do exploits. I'm getting ready to put an anointing on you to do exploits. Let me close this out. I lost track of my time. Y'all made me preach. Y'all made me preach. Glory to God. God knew that there would be a fiery furnace. So he raised up 3 Hebrew boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. I can see that bad Negro here in the back. No, man, nobody's getting no fire. Ain't nobody getting no fire, man. Ain't nobody getting no fire. He pimped up in there. Come on, somebody. And you know what happened. Glory to God. They faced a challenge. If you don't bow down, you're going to burn. But guess what? They knew their God. The Bible said they know their God shall be strong, and they knew exploits. They said, you can say what you want to say, but we know our God. The God we serve will deliver us from out of the fire. And they went in there and did such a great exploit that it turned the whole nation to Almighty God. When the king saw them come out of there, come on, somebody. He said, there's no God who's able to deliver after this sword. I don't know what that God's name is, but from now on, he's getting ready to be the God of all of Babylon. Come on, somebody. He's going to be God, and anybody don't serve serving. We're going to burn your house down like it was a dung hill. Come on, somebody. And everybody start serving their God. We're going to serve the God, amen, of Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro. Why? Because they made up their mind that they were going to do exploits for God. Stand on your feet tonight. Glory to God. Come on, stand on your feet tonight. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory to God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory to God. Finally, God knew there was going to be a Jezebel. So he raised up an Elijah. There's a Jezebel spirit that's trying to neuter the males of this country. We got to deal with that spirit. Elijah did a great exploit on Mount Carmel. And the Bible says he went and challenged the 400 prophets of Baal. And he met that challenge. And when he met that challenge, he said, let the God that answered by fire answer now. And you know what happened? And the Bible said he turned that whole nation back to God. People said, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. Elijah's name means the Lord is God. Is there anybody today ready to confront the Jezebel spirit that's trying to make all the men seek comfort rather than challenges? It almost got to Elijah at the end. That threat came and said, I'm going to take your head off. Elijah went to the comfort of a cave because even he was intimidated by that Jezebel spirit. But I'm telling you, it's time for us to come out of the cave. It's time for us to come out of the caves. It's time for us to do the exploits that God has called us to do. I want every man's hands up right now. I'm getting ready to pray a prayer over you that God told me.